The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 3. These words will also serve as the basis for our sermon today. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is the gospel of the Lord."
In the name of Jesus, who changes everything for his people, brothers and sisters in him, there's an old joke, maybe it's more of a jab, at the state of Wisconsin that really the state of Wisconsin has only two seasons. And of course that's winter and construction. And so when you see the snow flurries fly, it's as if the state of Wisconsin is saying, "Season's greetings, welcome to Wisconsin." And when you see those orange cones in the middle of the roadways, it's as if Wisconsin is saying, "Season's greetings, welcome to Wisconsin." When it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to God's word, when it comes to God himself, there aren't four seasons. And there aren't the comical two seasons we were just talking about either. When it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to God and his word, there's just one. One season. And John the Baptist tells us exactly what season that is. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Season's greetings, essentially. Now, I have never received a Christmas card, or a card this time of year, or a card any time of the year that says, "Pastor Miller and family, season's greetings, repent." That's exactly the card and the greeting John the Baptist sent to the people of his day when they came out to the desert, and he sent it to those people on behalf of God. Season's greetings, repent. That's a strong message. And please understand what he's saying and what he's not saying. It certainly is a strong message when you tell somebody to repent on behalf of the Lord. And often people see that as a power play. John the Baptist doesn't proclaim this season's greetings, repent, so that he can have the power, so that he can have the control, so that he can be high-minded and heavy-handed towards the people, as you sort of see movies from Hollywood when they typecast pastors. You know, either it's two extremes, right? Either the pastor is a bumbling fool, or the pastor's a control freak trying to have all the power and glory and authority to himself or herself. But that's not what John the Baptist is doing. John the Baptist is proclaiming a serious message of season's greetings, repent, when he talks to the people. He's serious about it. Why? Because God is serious. Do you understand? Not one sinner has ever been admitted to heaven apart from repentance. It doesn't work that way. And that's the point John is trying to make. He's not proclaiming this message and preaching this sermon to the people for his own benefit, even though he needs to listen to that sermon himself. He's proclaiming this strong message to the people for their own benefit. And the word repent, as strong as that is, it means change, as Pastor Bodie implied in the opening address to the congregation. It means a change of heart, a change of mind. It means change your attitude towards sin, change the way you think about sin, get away from sin. This is really important. Change the way you look at it completely. It doesn't mean, just come out to the Lord and just say the words. Just say the words you're sorry and it'll be fine. Just go through the motions. They're just words after all anyway. It doesn't work that way. That's not religion. That's hypocrisy. You just go ahead and try that with your spouse. Dear, I really love you, but not really in my heart. Okay, yep, we can be friends again. I know you messed up and I know you did something wrong. We can be friends, but in my heart, we're really not friends. I'm still going to hold this against you. Think that's going to work with the Lord? I'm sorry, Lord, for my sins, but I'm really not sorry for my sins? That doesn't work. And yet that's often what people accuse Lutherans of doing when they come to God's house and saying the liturgy as we did today. You Lutherans are just saying words. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't work anything for you. All it is just a bunch of words. John the Baptist strongly would disagree with that. Our lesson says this. People went out to John the Baptist from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. When all of these people came out to John the Baptist and saw him there in the desert, they told him the truth. They confessed their sins, the same as you did in the liturgy. This really was a type of church service, in a manner of speaking. And they said the same things we said in our liturgy. They confessed their sins. They told him the truth. They admitted what they had done. And guess what John did? He heard them. He listened to them on behalf of God. He took them seriously. And more importantly, what did God do through his prophet? God listened to them. God took them seriously. And then John the Baptist took them down to the water where God poured out on them a miracle, and he forgave them through baptism all of their sins. And he pointed out to them the coming Savior who would actually earn for them the forgiveness that God was promising them there. Total forgiveness. It's the same thing that happens for you today. And for me, when we come to the house of the Lord, when you confess your sins in the church service, and you mean it, when you come to the pastor's office and you say, Pastor, I want to confess these sins, they're really bothering me. Or when you say it in the privacy of your own home, or when you're anywhere out in the world and you just confess your sins in private or in public here with God's people to the Lord. God takes you seriously. He listens to you. He hears what you've confessed and said. And guess what he does in response? He pours out for you unconditionally, completely, the forgiveness of sins that Jesus Christ has won for you through his life, through his earned righteousness, and through his death on the cross. It's yours completely. Forgiveness is completely yours. Everything from our lesson, from what we read from Matthew chapter 3, says that. Not just the direct approach, but even the supporting features of what's going on. Here these people come to John the Baptist into the desert. How are they going to get there? Well, they have to walk. And it says they came from the whole area, which means many of these people likely walked for hours to get to where John the Baptist was in that desert. Now, that's the word that's translated, but really it's not a sandy desert like the Sahara. This is more like a wilderness. So there's probably dead trees here and there, dead branches, kind of scraggly plants all over the place. So all of these people walked to a wilderness to see this one man to confess their sins. Why would they do that? Because they weren't getting this in their cities and surrounding areas. They weren't hearing the truth about God. And so here they finally got to come to a person where all of the other noise of what was going on in God's name was muted. And they finally got to hear somebody tell them the truth. Season's greetings, repent, and bring to them the forgiveness of sins. Here they came to a place where there was a Jordan River. The Jordan River geographically flows from north to south, and it empties into the Dead Sea. So the Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, Dead Sea. Do you understand all of these people who came confessing their sins like you and me today had essentially the exact same confession of that Jordan River? The word Jordan means it goes down. It flows down. All of their lives did the exact same thing. And so that's what they confessed to John. John, my life was here, and I got into sin, and it flowed down. John, I was doing pretty well with the Lord. I thought I was going in a good direction, and I just completely bottomed out in sin. John, I thought I could go against the current. I thought I could go upstream. I thought I could do this on my own. I thought wrong, because I wiped out. And I ended up going with the current, and I ended up in this bottom area of the Dead Sea of deadly sins, in a manner of speaking. And I ended up in being dead with God. That's how it always works for sinners. It's how sin always works. It goes down. And look at what God responded to dead souls in a dead desert or wilderness, dead in sin. He brought the miracle of life. God did what only God can do. God brought to them forgiveness of sins through baptism, and he does the same for you. To people who come to the Lord sincerely and just pour out to him their sins, whether in their heart or whether out loud, whether just a short, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, whether you spell them out, whether you tell them the sins you know about, and even you confess the ones, Lord, there's a bunch I don't even know about. God forgives you. Completely. For Jesus' sake, you get the miracle of life in the wilderness of this world, in the desert of sin. There are people, though, who don't necessarily take that approach. There are some people who think a little bit differently, and they don't necessarily want to hear this message of John the Baptist and season's greetings, repent. And when somebody's like that, John, and especially the Lord, is a little bit more direct with them. And he says this: you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. In my ministry, I have known a lot of very, very sensitive, God-fearing, wonderful Christian people who, when they hear a section like this that I just read, they take this so sincerely as the Word of God, and it is. And they take this so sincerely, you can almost see, when I'm preaching, you can almost see the tears start welling up in their eyes. Well, is God talking to me here? Is he directing this at me? Am I still not forgiven? Am I still not on the right track? Is there something that's left undone, that's left unforgiven, and God is still angry with me? Is he talking to me with these words? And the answer is no. Where God's people are repentant and confessing their sins and have been forgiven, God doesn't harass you. God doesn't exasperate you and push you off into the corner and push you away. Where he forgives you, you are forgiven. But in context, there was a group of people that came out to the desert that they weren't there for forgiveness. They were there to sort of spy out John and to see why these numbers of crowds of people were there. They were there more out of envy and jealousy. And so they were not there to hear season's greetings. They rejected the message to repent. They resisted it, and they fought John. And somehow John could see that this was what their where their heart was and what their actions were about. And so John is very direct to them. Why would they be like this? Why would they be so thick-skinned and stubborn? Well, maybe they thought they were above this. Maybe they thought their mommy and daddy would bail them out like they always have in life. Maybe they thought their money and influence would go to bat for them. Maybe they thought with their jobs, and some of them were likely Pharisees and other religious leaders of the day, maybe they just thought their position would do it for them. And so as a tree, they sort of planted themselves and they cast their roots in the ground, and they thought they had grown higher than the tree line of repentance. And John asks them a question. And I'm going to ask it in a number of ways here. John asks them a very direct question here. Who told you to go that way? Who teaches you that stubbornness and to stay in sin is going to be the long-term solution for you? That that's going to work for you for God? Who taught you that? Who said that that was going to be an option for your eternal salvation? John said it a little bit differently. He said, who warned you to flee from God's coming wrath that way? And there's only one answer to that. It's not God who teaches people that. God teaches repentance. Who teaches people to stay in your sin, that you're going to be okay that way? There's only one, and that's Satan. And to people who stubbornly stay in their sin, who reject repentance and the answer that God has given and provided, John warns, God has an axe, and it's ready to be swung. It is sharpened, and it cuts down all who don't cut themselves down in repentance and repent for their sins. But never will he swing it against God's people who turn in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus. We've looked at a couple of aspects of repentance. We've looked at it that it's a hard word. It's a strong word. We've looked at repentance, that the word itself means change, a change of heart and a change of mind. But there's a last aspect of repentance. The word, how it's used in this section of Matthew 3, is an ongoing, steady attitude and really action. Which means it's not like a Q-tip. It's not like the paper towel. You rip off the paper towel holder, use it, and throw it away. It's not like the cardboard that accompanies the present, that once you clip off those plastic zip ties or whatever, you pitch it in the recycling. Repentance, in context, is not a one and done. It's not a one use, throw it away, I've done it, and it's over with. It's something Christians do every day. It's an attitude we maintain that, Lord, I told you yesterday I was sorry for my sins, and that's still my attitude today. In fact, in 1517, when Martin Luther walked to that castle church door, and he nailed the 95 theses on that castle door, the very first one that Martin Luther wrote on there completely grasped what John the Baptist was saying. And so Luther's first thesis was this: Jesus willed the entire life of the believer to be one of repentance. Our entire life is one that says, Lord, I'm turning away from sin, and I trust you forgive it. And where the believer has been gifted by the Spirit, that attitude, John the Baptist talks about the fruit that comes from life. That's the inevitable result. God brings forth fruit in your life that's evident for others to see. Where the miracle of forgiveness and faith has been applied to you, that can't be hidden. God shows his miraculous work in and through you and displays you to belong to him and to be one of his children. It's incredible. There really is only one spiritual season to the Lord. And John the Baptist says today, season's greetings along those lines. But there are two kinds of people today. One stays in the winter and in the deadness of their sin. And the other, the Christian, recognizes repentance is an ongoing construction project every day of our life. And we're trusting Jesus as we go forward. That's the person that's ready for Christ's coming. That's the person who receives forgiveness from God. That's the person the Lord Jesus is coming to claim on that last day to belong to Him and to be with Him forever. Stay there. Stay grounded in that. Stay in what John the Baptist preaches to you today and to me. Stay in his season's greetings where he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Amen. Please stand.